We're continuing with the drasha of Ramban Vanita Meya. The Ran is continuing around page Resh Mem Tes in the Mosad Aruch Kook edition. What page is it there, Amichai? Kuf Yud in the Machon Shalem edition. Vanita Meya, and I wonder, Alam Watem Asitun Chativa Achat Baolam. The Talmud tells us God says about the Jewish people, you make me one in the world. You make me special, so to speak, in the world, and I'll make you special in the world. So the Ran says, Kishma Yisrael eninu ma'ama Yisrael, sheikalsu bo Hashem yitbarach velo kilsuhu bo, aval mitzvah shenitztavinu ba meito yitbarach la'amin beyichudo. When we say Shema Yisrael, are we praising Hashem? No, says the Ran. We have a commandment to believe in His being single. And that's what we're declaring. We're fulfilling our commandment when we say that. And if by performing this mitzvah of just saying Shema Yisrael, so then we've done this, that we've, so to speak, given this gift or giving this exaltation, this praise to Hashem of saying He is one in the world, so then you could say the same thing about the first of the Ten Commandments, believing that Hashem is one. If it's only about my recognition Hashem is one, so then what does it mean that you have done one thing that's special on my behalf? No, we've done many things. We believe He is one, and we do many things that indicate that He is one in the world. What does it mean you've done one extraordinary thing on my behalf? So, the Ran over here has a special interpretation for this Gemara. Atem asitun chativa achat ba'olam. It seems that the Ran is not learning like Rashi and other commentaries, but we're going to go with the Ran for now. אבל לפי דעתי מה שאמרו כאן יומוז למה שאמרו במקום שנהגו. But I think the interpretation here corresponds to what the Talmud tells us in Psachim. דרש רבי שמעון בן פזי. כתיב, ויקרא יעקב בן בניו ויאמר אספו ויגיד לכם את אשר יקרא אתכם באחרית הימים. The verse says, Yaakov tells his children, gather, I'll tell you what's happening at the end of days. וכתיב, ובן בכורי עתה. And then, instead of telling them what's about to happen, he goes off and starts blessing them. The introduction doesn't fit the continuation. Answers the Gemara, Bikesh legalot haketz, menistakam imenu shechina. Yaakov wanted to reveal when the end of time was coming, and Hashem left him. Amar Hashem chas v'shalom yesh b'mitati psul. So he said, hey, wait a second. Maybe one of you's off. Maybe in my bed, meaning in my children, there's something off. Kavram sheyatzam menu Yishmael, uchi Yitzchak sheyatzam menu Esav. Just like Abraham had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav. Maybe something's wrong with you kids. Maybe that's why Hashem doesn't let me reveal to you when the end of time is coming. Amru lo, Shema Yisrael. So they stood there and they declared, hear, our father Israel, Hashem lokeinu Hashem echad. We all agree, Hashem is our God, He is one. Keshem shen belibcha le'echad, kachan belibeinu le'echad. Just as in your heart you know He's only one, so too in our hearts we know He's only one. Excellent yes. Question. So finally, someone asked.
They told me. They said, spirit is go look
yes.
That was actually what I was going to say.
Okay.
Is it the spirit is go look for it?
Mission.
You don't remember whether you didn't remember the mission.
This finally, one is easier. Like Yisrael is easier because Yisrael is a term of praise. It's harder because you have other places where they call him by the first name. Okay. We have to go looking. ולפי זה הדרש, הפסוק הזה, אף על פי שהוא מצווה עשה, כבר אמרו השבטים וכסו בו לשם יתברך. So based on this Gemara, even though the verse is a biblical commandment, you see that it was a term of praise that was used already previously by the tribes. אף על פי כן נכתב במקומו למצווה קבועה לדורות. But then the Torah repeats it in Parshas Veschanan as an eternal mitzvah. וזהו שאמר, אתם עשיתוני חטיבה אחת בעולם. And that's why the verse says, you've declared me, you've given me one declaration in the world. Because there's one declaration, which has been, that goes back in time to the time of the tribes, and that's the declaration. Now, I would suggest a different answer than the Ran. I have a pshat that I have support from the Gemara, this interpretation of the Talmud, but I haven't found it overtly written. I just think it's blatant in the Gemara and even in the Halacha. I think that, forgive me, but I know this isn't what the Ran said, but I think from the Gemara and from the Halacha, you do have this concept, and it answers the Ran's question. That when we say Shema Yisrael, there are two things that we're doing. One is Kabbalah So Malchus Shemayim, we are accepting the yoke of heaven, we are accepting upon ourselves that Hashem is one. But number two is a declaration of Hashem's unity. Meaning there's Lehamlicho, as the Gemara says. I am, so to speak, inaugurating Him, proclaiming His kingship over the world when I say Shema. And according to that, we can easily understand why do we say the word Shema Yisrael? Who are you talking to? So the Medrash says, we're all talking back to our grandfather Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash says, just like Yaakov asked his children the question, so too we're each answering, we're each following the footsteps of our forefathers, we're making the declaration to the last of the patriarchs that we're still faithful. So that's the Medrash Rabbah. But from the Gemara it would seem that no, we're making a declaration, and the Shulchan Aruch says that Shema should ideally be said out loud by the congregation, just as the Sfaradim do. So now we understand this is different than any other mitzvah. We don't make a declaration of the Ten Commandments in Shul. We don't have any other declaration in Shul that says, I'm a monotheist. Shema Yisrael, that's Chativa Achat Ba'olam. So with that, we can easily answer the Ran's question. But he didn't give that answer. So, fine, I'm just a little old knee, says that from the Gemara. And Halacha, it seems to me that that's an easy answer. Yes? Right.
No?
But then the Chazan should say the rest out loud. I think that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Look it up.
Even think. The part that expires on Saturday?
Yes. Okay. Do we have a Shulchan Aruch here?
This one in the library.
Right. This one many places, but no longer. Okay, look it up. Yeah? If I'm wrong, tell me. Yes?
That part should be said out loud too, but I thought there was a source in the Gemara that you shouldn't say that part out loud.
I'm unaware. Which part? Which? What did you just say? I'm unaware. Could be. Okay, I don't remember. Could be. I don't know. Vadrasha Shlishi. So we said that he told them three. He told them a few speeches. The third one was Usha Amarsham Vot Tatach V'Drash. So the Talmud over there says. Then he went on and gave a third speech. So he took the verse in Ecclesiastes. The words of our sages are like darbonot. Darben is, I think they call it in English, a goad. It's a stick that at the end of the stick you have a nail coming out. And when the ox wants to go off its path, it bumps into the nail and then it goes back onto its path. So that's the words of the sages are like darbonot, like these sticks that keep the animal on its path, uchimasmirot, and like nails, netuim, planted, balei asufot, and we'll define that word, that they have a lot of fruits, nitenum roechad, they were all given by one shepherd. Madar ben zemechavim tabralit lameh, alavi chayim laolam, just as the darbin, that stick, guides the cow in its path. And that brings life to the world. We need the cow to plow the field in order to have food. So too the words of Torah. Why does it say the words of our sages are like that stick? Because just like that stick guides the cow to bring life to the world, so too the words of Torah guide the hearts of those who learn them from the way of death to the way of life. So that's one thing the Gemara says. The nature of a human being is that he's interested in drugs, he's interested in drag racing, he wants to drink alcohol. We're all attracted to things that would kill us. But the imbalance which we're attracted to, a person would live a life of a gluttonous life if it were up to him. It's fun, why not? Comes the Torah and guides us to a balanced life. So that's not fun. That's like the cow that every time it goes off the path, it gets hit by the nail. It doesn't like it. But it still keeps it on a path that at the end of the day will give the cow and the people what to live off of. So too the Torah keeps us on the path that's going to lead us to life. Ratzu bezeh, what our sages meant in this derivation, Just as that darban, that stick, keeps the cow on its path straight, so it doesn't go to and fro, and from maintaining that straight path, you have life in the world. That's the fruit, that's the bounty. So too, the words of Torah guide a person's heart and enlighten him. And you have to know that when it comes to wisdom, there's wisdom that is detrimental to a person. Sometimes a person can destroy himself with his wisdom. Not every wisdom is to a person's benefit. So the words of Torah guide a person and they guide him to wisdom that will be beneficial to him. Okay, you will discover that much of what Rabbi Nachman said can be found in the Torah and Midrashim and Rishonim.
He
had his style, but you know, his presentation. But you'll find a lot of it. As we learn, we've seen many correlations to Rabbi Nachman in our learning. ולא פיקחות שיגיע ממנו נזק ודעת נפסד, אלא השגת דעת אמיתי יגיע האדם בו למשהו תכליתו. But a person through Torah can attain true knowledge and attain his true purpose in the world. שיש חוכמות מפקחות לב האדם, אבל יתו מדרכי חיים לדרכי מיתה. You have wisdoms that will make you smart, but they'll turn a person off the path of life to the path of death. ויגיעו מן דעות נפסדות שבין יהיה נטרד. And a person will adopt policies, adopt opinions that will ultimately take him off the path. אבל התורה לא תשאיר ללומדי הדעת נפסד או מידה מגונה. But the Torah guides us in our attitudes, in our personalities, in our traits. It guides us to be good human beings, and it guides us also in our philosophies. וזהו שאמר שלמה עליו השלום. And that's what King Solomon said, peace be upon him. כי תבוא חוכמה וליבך, ודעת לנפשך יינם. As intellect seeps into your heart, you will find the knowledge of Torah pleasant. At first glance, it's not pleasant. Why are you telling me to eat kosher? Why are you telling me not to eat meat and milk? When you begin Torah, so then it's not pleasant. But ki tavo chokhma v'libecha, as a person starts appreciating the wisdom of the Torah, then v'dat l'nafshecha yinam, he finds the pleasantness of the approach, the knowledge of the Torah. Mezimat yishmor alecha, the Torah is supposed to train a person to have cunning, to be able to plan, to be able to approach challenges in life and overcome them. And so the planning of the Torah will protect a person. Tivunatin tzereka, the understanding that the Torah gives a person will protect him as well. Right. And there are simple examples of this. This is just a verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs. But there are many things that the Torah gives us perspective. La'atzilecha miderecha mish medabel tapuchot. The Torah will also save a person from an evil path and from a person that tries to trick him. The Torah is supposed to teach us the cunning to be able to see through even simple things when someone's trying to trick us or outsmart us. Amar, what did King Solomon tell us? If a person really acquires the wisdom and takes into his heart, reaches the point where it's pleasant to him, like something he treasures, יגיע אליו מזה תועלת עצום. So then through the Torah you will have tremendous benefit. שם זימת ישמו עליו ותבונת נצריו ותצילי ומדרך אב ושאיש מדבר תפחות על ילכדהו ברשתו. You'll be able to plan correctly, you'll have the understanding to protect you, and you won't be tricked in life. So this is the verse in Mishlei. He didn't tell us anything that was too new here. Yeah.
At first it sounds like when you strike the thing for us and pleasant.
He didn't say that, I said that. I think that's a simple reading of the pasuk.
But sometimes you see with Balshuas, like sometimes after, like the first year, they're very like, wow, this is great. And then like the second, like it starts sort of wearing off. Like when it was all new, it your first pesa, your first dad, it's so exciting. But then you see a lot of people like sort of don't see it.
I agree. You will notice that the verse in Proverbs did not talk about the observance of Torah. It spoke about the wisdom of Torah. The observance of Torah experientially, yes, Torah could be a lot of fun at the beginning, and then like any new fad, you get tired of it, and okay, I had my fling. I had my fling with observancy. Shlomo was talking about the wisdom of Torah. The wisdom of Torah is a different deal.
Like when you hear for the first time that something that seems objectionable to you in the Torah, like it's like very just like you, like certain things you find sort of disgusting, like wiping out on the leg,
took me.
Grew up in Western society, like God's supposed to commit genocide, and I'm unallowed to capture a woman in war, like it seems like. But then it's like you sort of, like, if you sort of go further, like you see it's like the beauty of the movie.
Took me 2 decades. Okay. 2 decades before I could swallow it. I don't think it's as quick as you're describing. You know, you're making it sound like in 2 years. I guess for some people it could go so fast. But maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe a decade and a half. But close to 2 decades. Not everything goes so fast. You want to understand things and you want them to resonate with you and you want to be honest and truthful, then things are not easy. It's not something which you can open up and say, ah, yeah, that's easy, that's fun, that makes sense. No. You start seeing things that do make sense. You start seeing things that are harder to swallow. And over time, as you study, you could reach a point where you're comfortable with it. I didn't say like it. I said comfortable with it. And you grow some more, you could reach that point.
What's that experience like when you come to that? When you come to, you said it took you 2 decades to swallow. So what do you mean by swallow? Like saying like, Hashem knows better than I do, so I'm just going to be comfortable with it because in my limited intellect, I don't understand what Hashem has in mind, or is it that, like, well, I actually understand the reason why Hashem wants me to do it?
I think you can see that there are levels in saying, I trust. Meaning, you can have a relationship with a parent where you say, okay, you know, they tell me I have to go to the dentist, I'm going to go to the dentist. You could have a relationship where you say, they've done so much and they've done everything. I'm sure I am happy doing where they're going to take me. Meaning there's a level of trust, there's a level of connection that you're happy, you're doing it with happiness. That doesn't happen overnight. Meaning we live in a world that constantly challenges the ideals that the Torah propagates. The Torah tells you be a moral person, life will be good. Then you look around, you see moral people suffering. The Torah tells you this is the best way of life. You look through the Torah and you have a lot of questions. Certainly doesn't seem like the best way of life at first glance. There are a lot of things that are going to bother you. Now to grow from that, to being able to see truthfully that this is a system that is the best system in the world, I can tell you if you go to the recordings 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when I taught Maimonides' work, the epistle to the Jews of Yemen, the Yemenite epistle, I read over there a line where Maimonides says other religions compared to Judaism are like monkeys compared to human beings. And I said, Maimonides could say that because he saw it. I can't tell you that. I can take his word for it. I can tell you why I'm Jewish and I think it's right and I'm doing it. But I can't tell you what he said. That was 7 years ago. Today I could say it. But I wasn't able to say it then. I read it and I said, you know, we're going to learn this. And I was already married with kids. Saying there's a growth process that happens. So you reach a level where you say, okay, I can accept it. You reach a level where you say, okay, I can take the word for it. It takes time before you can truthfully say, hey, this is right. I can say it's right. Not I can say I've done all the background work where now it makes sense to me and I'm going to go with it. There's the first level where you lay the foundations and you say, okay, I'm going to go with it. But that doesn't mean it's yin'am, it's pleasant to you. You with me? There's a different level between being able to say the Torah is pleasant to me or being able to say, well, if God said so, I'm going to do it, but it's definitely not pleasant to me. Yeah?
It's the process going from it's not, I'm going to do it because God said so to a point where it's pleasant to me.
I'm saying, but that's a long process. If you're going to be true to intellect and you're going to be true to questioning and you're going to be true to the Torah, then that's a process. It takes time till the Torah resonates with the person. Certain things in the Torah are easy. Certain things in the Torah are harder.
Are there things that a person might never become comfortable throughout the course of their life?
I think if a person is willing to invest the time and a person has the tools to grow with it, then a person can. But it takes time and work. Most people, most of their lives, do not have the time. So they either ignore the question or they make believe they've resolved the question. But is it doesn't happen overnight. Like you gave two perfect examples. To reach that level of dat lenafshecha in am, the knowledge of the Torah is pleasant to a person. Different people have different issues and go at different paces, but at the end of the day, it's a process. It doesn't, if someone's going to be intellectually honest, that doesn't happen overnight. So that's why I was just indicating from the verse. The Ran didn't say it. I was just, once we quoted the verse, I thought it was important to point out that the simple reading of the verse does delineate two stages. He says, first, the wisdom has to enter the heart, which is one idea, and then you have to reach a point where the wisdom is pleasant to the heart. Oh, he's not telling you how long between steps, and I don't think there's one formula. I don't think any person can say, this is how it's going to work for you. Different strokes for different folks. We grow at different paces. Maybe you'll get there in 2 years. What took me a decade and a half. You know, when I'll tell you a stage in the growth process. Up until, I don't know how many years ago, I couldn't look at a bris. I couldn't look at a circumcision. I said, God said so, so I'm doing it. But, you know, don't make me look. I'm happy someone else is doing it for me. Then I reached a point in my personal work on myself where I said to myself, that's wrong. What am I more merciful than he? If he said it's right, then it's right. Then there's nothing wrong with it. Then it's a merciful act. So I forced myself to look. And I would still look and feel like, ugh, how could you do that? I'd be standing there, people would come to me after a bris and tell me, you look like you suffered more than the baby did. I remember once, one of the rabbeim at Merkaz Harav came to me and said, I suffered more looking at you than the baby. I stood there, it bothered me to look. And then I said to myself, okay, there's something wrong with me. I have to work on myself. And then I forced myself to become a moel. So I went from here to here. Today I do it. You know, how come? But that's a process. I'm telling you, but that was a process. I'm telling you, initially I didn't look. I couldn't look. Then I first. Okay, to be continued next week.